Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us here on this Wednesday. NCAA tournament began last night, and when it did, you had a really ragged game between Hampton and Manhattan, then followed by a great game, which saw Ole Miss rally and beat BYU. I can tell you right now, in this bracket, people are talking about which upsets to go with. For example, a 10-7 game. I've got Ohio State beating VCU. 11-6 game. I've got Texas beating Butler. But I'll tell you what I'm not buying. A lot of people are saying, watch for Buffalo against West Virginia. West Virginia will not only beat them, they will steamroll them. Right? That game won't be close. I'm just telling you. Bob Huggins rested his players. Didn't really care much about it. It didn't really matter to him about the Big 12 tournament. And they are ready. I think they'll not only win the game, they will win the game in the 10 to 20 point margin area over Buffalo. I know the world finds it adorable that Bobby Hurley is coaching Buffalo, that he's got a good backcourt and the whole thing. Well, the backcourt he has isn't even anywhere near as good as the backcourt that West Virginia has. I think they'll hang with him for a while, but there is a limit to how this plays out. Certain teams, let's talk about Kentucky for a moment. Kentucky is a team. People said, you want Kentucky or the field? I want Kentucky. I think they're 40-0. I think they get to 40-0. I think they win the thing. I think it takes until the Final Four, until they're actually really deeply challenged in a game where there's 5 minutes to go and it's in doubt. Some have talked about Kentucky having the weakest bracket. They should. They're the number one overall seed. They've earned having the weakest bracket. They've earned it. Today we're going to have Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com, on the show. Jeff Byers on the show today from St. Louis. Adam's going to join us from Chicago to talk about the tournament. And we're then going to go to St. Louis and bring in Jeff Byers to talk about the NCAA Wrestling Championships. Adam Rittenberg will be on the show at 3:35. Jeff Byers will be on the show beginning at 4:06. So that's how it's going to play out today. Love to hear from you at 800-795-9565. Later in the week, Joe Susan is going to join us. He's going to talk to us about Bucknell football. So the hotline has been rolling again this week. We usually have, during the course of the week, an average of about 7 to 8 guests a week on the show. There'll be some shows where the entire show is nothing but guests. But on the average, about 7 to 8 guests a week. And obviously here the last, what we have, by the time today's done, we'll have 6, right? 6 or 7, right, Sarah? Somewhere in there between the 2 days.
Yeah.
The one we were supposed to get today was Greg Brown, and Greg had to, the Pirates broadcaster, Greg had to push it to another day. He was busy, and he said he'll push it to another day, so we'll get him from spring training. We still are going to get Bob Walk from spring training, and we're still going to get John Wehner from spring training. The Phillies say they'll eat the $50 million contract of Ryan Howard if it means they can deal him. The Phillies are a poster child for mistakes that have been made in this modern era of baseball. Building around, it's interesting. I talk about building around the high price guy, and the Red Sox have tried to go back to that a little bit by getting Hanley Ramirez and Pablo Sandoval. But the Phillies try to keep guys on board with big contracts, and right now they're not only not producing, but they also have a huge payroll that makes them very difficult to do anything with it. Jim Boeheim. Okay, Daryl Gross stays on as Daryl Gross resigns as the Syracuse athletic director. He'll be reassigned within the university. Now, the probation at Syracuse didn't just affect basketball. It did affect other sports. I believe lacrosse was hit. Football was hit. So it was a multi-sport situation of probation at Syracuse. As the athletic director, he resigns. He'll be reassigned by the university. And then there was the second announcement. Jim Boeheim is going to stay on as the head basketball coach for 3 more years. Huh? Really? Let's be honest about it. There are two scenarios here. One is Jim Boeheim had either extensive or a little bit of knowledge of what was going on around him, which would mean he would have allowed it to happen. And it's his program. Or two, he had no clue of what was going on around him at all. And neither scenario is good. One's cheating, one's incompetence. Basketball organizations are not like football organizations. They are not as extensive. Why? You have 13 players as opposed to 125. You don't need as big a staff or as large a staff. There are two words that come out to me right now, and I don't like these two words. Plausible deniability. So the athletic director resigns. The basketball coach, who, by the way, is now a two-time probation offender, announces that, hey, I'm going to stay 3 more years. Really? Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Villanova's not getting a lot of love on the national scale, despite being a number one seed. In fact, they're the number two overall seed in the NCAA tournament based on the rankings released by the NCAA. And they're not getting a lot of love, and I think I know why. I think part of the problem that they have, and this is something that Jim Delaney has to, and I know Jim Delaney has kept a close eye on this, so I'm not saying something out of turn here. But Jim Delaney is closely watching the Big East and the ratings of the Big East on Fox Sports 1. And I think that this is a major issue right now because Villanova is not getting a lot of love across the country. In fact, you never hear them mentioned as a team that might have a shot at beating in Kentucky because they can shoot the three. I mean, they've got 6 guys that shoot 37% or better outside the arc. They have 8 guys on the roster that can shoot it. It's the kind of team that can give Kentucky some trouble. I mean, Kentucky inside would do really well with their length, but Villanova can shoot over that. And they're a good basketball team. They've only lost twice all year. They're just really good. yet you don't hear anybody talk about them. Why? Because people don't see them play. All these ESPN games, I mean, the brand ESPN is a powerful, powerful brand. And if you get on there, it makes a big difference. Look at the Pac-12 in football. The Pac-12 for a long time had its games on the, you know, before Fox Sports 1 existed, the Fox Sports cable network. You know, they have all those systems across the country before they became like Root Sports and so forth. And that's where the Pac-12 had its games. Then the Pac-12 got a package with ESPN. Thursday night games, late Saturday games, they'd be in that last time slot. And the profile of the conference nationally went up. Suddenly they weren't in that, gee, I wonder what happened on the West Coast, what happened. People, I mean, I stay up, I watch Pac-12 games on Saturday night, winding down. And just having a package on ESPN has helped the Pac-12 profile. Now let's flip it to the other side of it. The Big East has this exclusive contract with Fox Sports. So from approximately January 1 until the tournament, every Big East game is on Fox Sports 1 or Fox Sports over the air. ESPN as a network for a Big Ten game gets between 1.3 and 1.5 million viewers per Big Ten basketball game. On the average. You know what the average is on Fox Sports 1? 90,000. How about that? So if you're wondering why Villanova's not getting a lot of love, I think a big part of it is just because a lot of people haven't seen them play. And that is a big part of this. That's why Jim Delaney has taken a long, hard look. I think idealistically, if you're going in idealistically, you'd like to play. You know, here's Fox Sports coming in. They're trying to get an identity. They need a signature college product. The Big East isn't quite doing it for them. The Big Ten would be a huge get. You'd love to be able to play the Fox Sports 1 bid against the ESPN ABC bid and see how well you do with it. But here's the problem. Fox Sports can come up with the cash. That's not the issue. Fox Sports is awash in cash. So the ability for Fox Sports to bid against ESPN for the Big Ten, they have no problem with that. The problem is once you get there, do you then enter the witness protection program? And that's the problem. Where suddenly is your product one that people are struggling to find, even though you've found all this money. Now you could put together a package that includes them, but also includes ESPN. Yes, but I think there's just no way in today's climate that you can completely shut out ESPN of your over-the-air product. I can't see how right now that can happen. They're such a powerful brand, and they just automatically attract sports eyeballs before anybody else. I mean, anybody else tries to compete with them struggles. And not only, and then there's the other part, SportsCenter. I mean, I may not be a great fan of how they do SportsCenter, but that's irrelevant. People, when they want to see sports news, go to SportsCenter. They don't watch Fox Sports 1. The problem. Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com, in the next half hour to talk about the NCAA basketball tournament. And wrestling fans, we have far from left you out. We're going to then go from Chicago with Adam Rittenberg to St. Louis and Jeff Byers, the voice of Penn State Wrestling, to discuss the Nittany Lions and the NCAA Wrestling Championships, plus some general comments on the NCAA Wrestling Championships with Jeff Byers as well. So, college basketball next half hour, college wrestling in our third half hour between 4:06 and 4:30. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Q, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Listening to the news, and they were talking about Admiral Tom Lynch coming in to speak to what, Economics PA? Does that sound right?
Yep, Economics
Sarah?
PA. Yep.
Yeah, he'll be coming in. Admiral Tom Lynch, very well respected, played football at the Naval Academy. He played center. Do you know who his quarterback was? Roger Staubach.
Not a bad guy to catch a ball from.
No, I mean, he snapped the ball to Staubach. And I'm sure if you asked Tom Lynch about Roger Staubach, he'll have some glowing things to say. I know L. Bud Tallman was the sports information director at Navy the year that Roger Staubach won the Heisman Trophy, which was 1963, and Roger was just a junior. And it was really the first ever campaign for a player to win the Heisman, and L. Bud put it together. And it was at a time, too, where it's Naval Academy, because when you're done, you're out taking care of everything the Naval Academy asks you to take care of. I've told you the story before about Ed DeChellis being the head coach at Navy, and one day one of his kids shows up to practice on time, but absolutely soaking wet. And he says, "What's your deal?" He says, "We just got done with maneuvers in the river." That's a different cat that you're coaching there, okay, compared to what everybody else is doing. And so Staubach was really essentially cut off from the media because it was the Naval Academy. Well, Bud came up with a way of publicizing Roger Staubach and getting people to appreciate what he had done. And then the 63 Army-Navy game, President Kennedy was at the game, I believe. You know, this is before the president was shot and killed. They played that game a little bit earlier in the year, I think early November. I think he was at the game. And Staubach put together a remarkable performance. But Admiral Tom Lynch was on that team with him. So we can take anything, Sarah, and we can bring it back to this show and make it a sports item.
See? I know. It's right in.
It's, oh, yeah. But just to let you know, I was listening to the news. I also heard the part about 1 to 3 inches of snow Friday. I heard that loud and clear.
Did not like that one.
No, that did not light me up. All right. NCAA basketball tournament underway last night. Hampton, in a poorly played game, beat Manhattan. Then in a great game, Ole Miss rallying to beat BYU. Two more games coming up tonight, including Robert Morris, a.k.a. Bobby Moe, in action this evening against North Florida, the Ospreys, who, by the way, beat Purdue this year. North Florida's not bad. And then Dayton on its home court tonight plays as well. So looking forward to that. Let's bring in Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com. Adam, welcome back. It is always great, my friend, to have you on the show, and it was great to see you in Chicago.
Always great to see you, Steve.
All right. What did you see in Chicago, pro and con, among the seven teams that made it to the NCAA tournament?
Well, you always want to go into the tournament with some momentum. And, you know, Michigan State was a very ordinary team. I think Tom Izzo would agree for much of the year. But once again, you know, he finds a way to get the best out of his guys at the end of the year. And this is certainly not one of his best teams, not one of his most talented teams. But one thing that struck me, you know, listening to them and hearing him talk about them, is he said they've always been one of the more cohesive teams he's had. They've never had any sort of chemistry issues. And so a team that's playing its best and coming together at the right time could end up making some noise in the tournament. Wisconsin, obviously, you know, had that rally to get in and win the Big Ten tournament, and they're playing at a high level. We'll see what Travion Jackson, if he can play a whole lot, coming back from that injury. But you have to like what you've seen from those two teams. I think Purdue is a team, even though they lost in the semifinal game, I like the way that they're performing. I thought their seed was a little bit lower than I expected.
Yeah.
Same goes for Maryland. You know, Maryland has two really, really good guards, and that can help you go a long way in the tournament. But they had a really rough draw, going into this. So, I think certainly Michigan State and Wisconsin, the two teams in the final, along with Purdue, feel pretty good about their chances of making a run. Ohio State, meanwhile, I don't see that as a team that really has any chance of going far in this tournament. They just haven't shown that all year, despite having one of the best players in the country in D'Angelo Russell, who's you know arguably the best guard in the country.
Yeah, on top of that, I see them winning the 10-7 game. I don't see them going beyond that for the reasons you talked about. Michigan State, it's interesting because they lost, you know, Payne graduated, Appling, so forth. The one area where they turned things around in the postseason, especially in the championship game, they shot free throws. They haven't done that almost all year with consistency.
Right, which is another very uncharacteristic thing about a Tom Izzo team, that they would even have a free throw issue. But you're right, they were able to make those clutch free throws, and that should give them some confidence going into the tournament. You know, they were you know arguably a sideline review away, you know, with the Gosser play of winning the Big Ten championship or tournament championship for the third time in 4 years and the second straight year. And so, you know, again, this isn't the best collection of Izzo guards,
right.
But, you know, I think Trice is playing at a pretty high level. You know, Valentine is a guy that they can give you problems. And if they can make their foul shots and be physical and get a lot out of Brandon Dawson and some of those complimentary pieces up front, you know, they're a team that could, you know, maybe make a run. You know, Virginia is not the same Virginia that they were for most of the year. You know, they're not at full strength, and you know, they're a team that if you can hit some shots, they're not a team that's going to put up 70 or 80 points against you. So that should be a really interesting matchup in the second round, provided that both teams win the first round matchup.
Yeah, if you get to 50, you get a real shot against them. Let's talk about Wisconsin for a moment, Adam. And this is a little different deal. I don't think people realize in the NCAA tournament, it's a little different than the regular season. That first time out, in the first half that's called by a coach, the use it or lose it, is a long timeout, just like it is in the second half. The TV timeouts are longer. So if you stay out of foul trouble, legs don't become a problem. What do you see in Wisconsin, other than some of the obvious things, that allows them and the draw that they received in this to see if they can get back to the Final Four?
Well, I you know, for years Wisconsin was this great regular season team that couldn't do anything in the tournament.
Right.
You know, it was kind of hard because we all knew how good of a coach Bo was and what he did in the Big Ten every year, but they weren't a very clutch tournament team. And I think last year the fact that so many of those guys went through the run and really faced, you know, potentially a similar lineup to the one they'll face this year. I mean, the Oregon that second round matchup is possible. You know, Baylor is in the same region. Obviously, Arizona, once again, a potential opponent in the regional final in California, just like last year. So there's definitely a similar path to that point. But I think their defense in the second half, that's what really stood out to me in some of those games, the way that they can, even when they're not hitting their outside shots and they were able to find their stroke late in some of the games in Chicago, their defense down the stretch is very good. And that will keep them in games, and you know they just have such a big matchup problem with Kaminsky because you know, even teams that have to put smaller guys on him, either he beats them one on one, and he's such a good passer if you put your big guy on him. So it's really really tough to win a 40-minute game against him. I mean, you can beat him for a half, or you can beat him for you know 30 minutes, or in Michigan State's case, you can beat him for 38 minutes, 39 minutes, but it's really hard to finish them off.
What has Bronson Koenig in a full time role as a starter added to the lineup that maybe Trey Jackson didn't?
Well, I think he's just a more reliable shooter. I mean, you can see what he did in the second halves of some of those games. You know, I turned in my all-tournament ballot, I think, with 8 minutes left, and he wasn't on it. But I think if I had done it at the end of the game, he would have been on that ballot. I still think Nigel Hayes was the best player in that entire tournament and should have been most outstanding player. Stand by that. But I think Koenig, the way he can heat up from the outside, and he doesn't get discouraged if things aren't going his way early on. I think having a guy like Gosser next to him, more experienced, doesn't play a huge role in the offense, but can hit a shot from you know here and there. But obviously adds so much from a defensive standpoint. I think being able to play alongside him really helps a guy like Koenig and his mentoring. So you've seen him grow up this year, and I just think as opposed to Jackson, who has some different skills, you know his perimeter shooting ability. In clutch situations, sets them apart.
Yeah, they put five guys on the floor that can hit threes, and they have length at all three forward positions, and that's obviously very impressive. And they don't foul, they don't put you on the free throw line. They almost cost me my pregame show the other day. That first half took 38 minutes.
We said,
and you know, the other thing too is, Steve, they never feel like they fouled ever. So it's, you know, you know, they don't commit a few fouls, and then the few fouls they do get called on, it's like the you know, great injustice of the world.
I think that might actually come from their head coach. What do you mean? When they put the bracket up, Indiana was not only in, but they were on the 10 line, which meant they're not only in, they were way in. Were you surprised by that? Not that they're, you know, they were in, but they were actually that deep in?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think the three teams that everyone's talking about, these you know, these Power Five teams, you know, UCLA was the most egregious, but I would say Indiana and Texas are also two that surprised many by not having to either being out or having to play their way in Dayton. So, you know, Indiana did win its first round Big Ten tournament game convincingly against Northwestern. They played well. The next game against Maryland kind of ran out of gas there at the end. But, yeah, I was a little surprised that they weren't either in the first four or another 11 seed. And, you know, they're, again, backcourt-driven teams can, if the matchup is right, make a run in the tournament. And, you know, they have firepower in that backcourt with Farrell and some of those other guys. But they're just so up and down. One thing that I know that Tom Crean was pleased about was the quality of the defense he saw in Chicago, and that hasn't been their strong suit during his tenure. So if they can defend and get some great guard play, maybe they can surprise. But I agree with you. I didn't think they would be a 10 seed.
The committee, by the way, has them 37. That, just so people know, they have 37. They have Purdue 36, Indiana 37, then Davidson, then Ohio State's 39. The Jim Boeheim situation. The athletic director, Gross, resigns. He'll be reassigned. Boeheim says, I'm staying three more years. What has been your reaction to that as someone who loves college basketball the way you do?
Well, it's just so bizarre. You know, how often have you seen a release saying, yeah, he's retiring in 3 years? I mean, why 3 years? Why not next year? Why not? Yeah, you know, right. I don't understand the 3 years part of it. You know, Darryl Gross's fate was sealed as soon as that report came out.
No question.
And just too many violations. The varied violations across different sports. I mean, you just can't survive that as an athletic director. Obviously, Jim Boeheim is much more powerful in that community, but you know, it's going to be kind of a bizarre end to his tenure. I mean, obviously, so successful, so many NBA players coming out of there. Yeah, I remember, you know, seeing them in Boston, actually, as a fan a few years ago. Went to that regional, and Ohio State ended up upsetting them and going to the Final Four. And you just wonder if that was maybe their last real chance at winning a national title. I know they were very good last year as well, but you know, now everyone knows how much longer he has left, and you know, you just wonder if how that's going to impact recruiting and everything else that goes on around that program. But certainly there were a lot of problems that happened under his watch, and if he wasn't Jim Boeheim, I don't think he could demand when he's going to retire three years from now.
Yes, the second time through on probation for Syracuse in his tenure. The part that I find, to me, that I can't quite reconcile is that, quote, either he had some knowledge of what was going on, that's bad, or he was oblivious to what was going on, and that's not a good scenario either.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, how, you know, again, as some of these coaches have, I guess, near the end of their tenure, you know, I know we had a similar situation in some ways in State College. You wonder how much do they really know what's going on, you know, behind the scenes. Yeah, I know I just can't imagine there was no knowledge of everything that was outlined in that report. So, you know, again, it's unfortunate. He's a Hall of Fame coach, obviously incredibly accomplished. It means a lot to that community and that school. You know, oftentimes these things don't end the way you want them to as far as these great careers, and that may be the case here.
All right, Adam, your Final Four. Hey, what do you see as a potential as to how it plays out to the four teams that get to the Lucas Oil Stadium?
Oh, I got to pull up my bracket, Steve. You're making it tough for me. But, you know, certainly Kentucky coming out of the Midwest. I don't think it's the toughest path for them.
And no.
In some ways, it shouldn't be the toughest path. They earned it with their perfect season to this point. Not having to play the toughest two seed and the toughest three seed to get to Indianapolis. So it's a favorable pass for them. Although I think Notre Dame could be a really interesting matchup if Notre Dame can kind of overcome what we were talking about with Wisconsin, a program that's been really good in the regular season under a really good coach and Mike Frey, but they get to the tournament and it really brings out the worst in Notre Dame. And so we'll see if they can maybe make a run. I like Wisconsin. I know that it's going to be a tough task for them, especially going against, I think, what many would agree is the best two seed in Arizona, essentially in another road game in California. So that could be really tough for them. I think the South region is fascinating. I'm going to go with Iowa State. I mean, they just have found ways to win. I know Duke is really good, but I like Iowa State coming out of the South. And then the East could be, really one of the more wide open regions. And, I think the winner of that Michigan State-Virginia game in round two, I don't know who I'm going to pick yet, but I think the winner of that game will end up coming out of the East.
Yeah. Actually, you know who I have coming out of there? Villanova.
Who do you have?
Villanova. I've watched a lot of Villanova this year, and you know what they do, Adam? In today's game, where the point value of that shot means so much, they're not just good at it, they're great at it. They have six of their guys shoot 37% or better. And they, in fact, they've got actually a formula. We talk about what Wisconsin can do with Kentucky. If Villanova hit 15 threes in a game against Kentucky, they'd put a tremendous game pressure on them. And they can do it. They're a very interesting team. I think that for some reason, nobody really is talking about.
I think because of the new Big East.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, people still don't know where they are. I mean, I think that it would be fascinating to see if they could, how they would shoot the ball against a Michigan State or a Virginia,
right,
or even a Northern Iowa. I think the top of that bracket is fascinating. I thought Northern Iowa was underseeded at
Agreed.
Five. I mean, that's a really good team
that
plays great defense. And I don't know how Louisville, which didn't play well at all down the stretch, was able to get a four seed ahead of Northern Iowa. I like Northern Iowa, although they have a really tough matchup in the first round against Wyoming. And then potentially Louisville. I would keep an eye on them as well.
I completely agree with that. Completely agree with that. And in fact, I thought them being a five, and you mentioned Louisville, Georgetown being a four, they could have easily made Northern Iowa four in Georgetown spot. Adam, thanks so much. Greatly appreciate it as always. Everyone enjoys your insight very much, especially the host.
You bet. Thanks for having me on, Steve. Anytime.
Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, 15 minutes away from a trip to St. Louis, and Jeff Byers at the NCAA Wrestling Championships as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Attention, Pennsylvania truck buyers. This is the one event you've been waiting for. Sunbury Motors is having their 67th annual March New Ford Truck Sale. Pick from the largest selection of new Ford trucks with savings up to $10,000. An F-150 4x4 Super Cab are priced from just $29,944. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling truck for 38 consecutive years. A new F-150 is sold every 42 seconds. Choose from over 50 of the hot selling 2015 Ford Escapes, and they're slashed to as low as $19,965. SMC has 2015 7-passenger 4-wheel drive Explorers reduced to under $30,000. 0% financing for up to 72 months is available on many models, and every new Ford is clearly marked with the lowest prices of the year. Hurry into the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and get a great deal on a new Ford during Sunbury Motors' 67th annual new Ford truck sale. SMC, proudly owned by the Merce family since 1915. Hurry before someone buys your new truck.
Pleasure to be with you on this Wednesday. Day two of the NCAA basketball tournament. Then it really kicks into high gear tomorrow, as 32 teams will be in action tomorrow with 16 games starting at high noon. Tonight, two games are on tap this evening, including Dayton playing on its home floor coming up this evening, which is something that is not supposed to happen. But Dayton took the opening the first four games, and they've embraced it so much. And the committee was asked, well, does that mean Dayton can't play in it? Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, and that's what they said, not necessarily. because the site means more than who's playing at the site. They will play Boise State tonight. That's the second game. The opening game is actually a really good game. North Florida against Bobby Moe coming up tonight. You're like, Bobby Moe? Who's Bobby Moe? It's Robert Morris. Dick Girardi and I have nicknamed it Bobby Moe. Tomorrow's Philly Daily News. Pick up a copy. Dick has a great article coming up tomorrow. His tournament article on the bracket was unbelievable. Broke the Steve Donahue story at Penn. And then his tournament article was great. Tomorrow, I will cue you in. The first two words of the article are Ben Luber. You're going to have to find out what direction that goes in. I know the author. Coming up, next half hour, we've talked a lot about college basketball so far in this opening hour, including our thanks to Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com for joining us. And we've talked about the Jim Boeheim situation. Now we're going to change gears and get to the NCAA Wrestling Championships. We're going to go to St. Louis, and we're going to hear from Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, to break down the NCAA Wrestling Championships. That is just a mere 7 minutes away. News at the top of the hour from the Sunbury Motors Studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.